It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 838.
What's happening, guys? What's going on? Happy Monday, the 31st of August, 2020.
That's the final day of the month.
Yep, final day of the month, one of the longest months in the calendar year. And marks the day before my birthday. That's the only reason I'm banging on about the date. Because you know how much I don't give a shit about what day we're doing this.
Well,
it's just the day we're doing it.
You said you had a package, and you were wanting a package for some work stuff that was meant to arrive today. And you said that's arrived. I said, what courier is the package from? And you're holding it up right now.
It's Amazon. Is this an Amazon box?
Yeah,
Amazon.
Can you open it now?
No, I can't because it's not my birthday, and I've worked. And you
see, this is the problem. Bree has the same issue with me. If I get a gift, as soon as the gift arrives, I need it to be given.
Yeah.
So you want to wait until tomorrow until it's your
birthday? Until my actual birthday. I can't do that, dude. I can't do that. It's not my birthday. So I've been waiting for a box since last Friday. Mm-hmm. And in that time, I've had two deliveries. I'm making a video about the contents of this box that's arriving. And now I have multiple videos of me going, it's here. And, oh, it's here. I've got it. Put it down. I'm like, yes, it's here. And then I realize at that moment that it's not the box. So I could do three versions by the time this box arrives of what's inside.
That's actually a funny, that could play into the video.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Oh, no, not it. Wasn't it. It's so good. Anyway, but they are doing deliveries. That was a Saturday that I got a delivery. That was Bunnings Warehouse.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I've been noticing that too.
I mean, there's a big issue with they got it because it's tough times, unprecedented. You've got to get people their mail. Over in the States, the postal service is struggling. And it's a big problem because think about, people are still receiving checks in the mail. Mm-hmm. Checks, dude. What the fuck's a check? No one uses checks in Australia.
Well, I mean, we've filmed a few. It's become politicised, unfortunately, because of all the mail-in voting and stuff like that. The postal votes.
Yes.
So you normally have. So apparently, there's the what's it called when you're away and you vote in, like the mail voting. They're okay with that, Trump's okay with that. They don't like apparently. The postal voting is just literally like they just send them out to people and then you fill out who you're voting for and send it back. But you don't have to do as much of the admin to get it done. So I remember seeing, I don't know if this is still the same, I saw a few weeks ago the postal service is saying we want cash, we need cash to be able to make sure we're prepared.
Mm.
And the Republican Party's like, nah. We don't want this whole postal vote thing, and so they're holding back cash.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how many people like it. You know, so it's a funny thing because it's almost easier than going down to the local school to vote, but then there's still people are just lazy when it comes to doing admin. And in America, you don't have to vote.
This is a COVID thing, right? This is like...
Exactly. Yeah. But you don't have to vote. So then at that point, it's like if you're allergic to admin, at least you probably could get some sort of like waffles at the local voting booth or some pineapple from one of those little stands on the side of the road in LA. But mate, you wouldn't do it.
Amazon doesn't pay much for to use the postal service. Like it doesn't... The cost of packages hasn't gone up or something.
Mm.
But interestingly, I saw an article over the weekend that 2/3 of Amazon packages are delivered by them now. So they're not even using the US Postal Service.
Yeah, wow. One of the best pieces of news that rolled in was last night, text message. Mm-hmm. Text message from the local water and saying now... you can drink your tap water because it had been, there was 100 suburbs across Victoria that had, not infected, but water that was contaminated. Contaminated water. Mm-hmm. And so this has led me to do one of the dumbest things I think I've ever done. And I have to put a caveat around it. I think I was tired and maybe coming down with something, and it's not from the water.
Okay, right.
But sure. Maybe it will be now, because one of the dumbest things, like trying to boil water and then keep up with the amount you need to drink is tough, because the boiled water's hot and you can't be sculling it. You can't just... You realize how much you kind of just go to the tap and have a sip. Yeah. Like, I'm not the bottle guy like you that keeps a gallon of water by my side. But I definitely frequently drink from the tap, like a gronk.
Sure.
No, but fine. It's my house, so go fuck yourself.
So, from the tap, as in you put your mouth under the tap?
Put my mouth
that's
under the tap.
That's how I like put water in my mouth after I've brushed my teeth.
That's fine. I mean, it's fine.
I mean, you're doing it without that, so, mate, I know it's fine. I don't need to hear it from you.
anyway,
what's
so, I was like, oh, mate, I've got the best idea. I was like, I heated this jug of water, hot water, and I was like, fuck it. I'm going to crack some ice blocks in that. And then I cracked the ice blocks into it. And I was like, this is sick. And then so, about, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, I was like, fuck, this is sick. I can just cool down this water. Did it again. I was like, fuck, I had a big drink. And I was like, oh, you know, that classic, you know, ice blocks make you drink taste like the fridge, the freezer.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. Yeah.
Mate. I filled the ice block container back up with the contaminated water.
Oh, no.
And then cracked the ice blocks into the hot water. What a fucking idiot.
That's so annoying.
But I was like, this is the best thing ever. And then I just had this moment mid-sip, just like, oh, I've been using contaminated water to make the ice blocks.
No. That's very silly,
so
isn't it?
So dumb. The dumbest thing I've done in a long time.
Well, Hayden Dibb, I think on the podcast, talked about his horrendous Bali belly.
That's right.
There's different ice that you can get in Bali, and the one that you want to get is the one with the hole through it, because the hole through it means that it's gone through some official sort of ice making.
Yeah, so it's like purified water or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're not using the contaminated shit, but it's a big problem. You can't even brush your teeth in Bali, or you might get Bali belly. I mean, it's one reason I kind of don't want to go back there with Bodhi. Like, kids are loose. They're licking walls. They don't care about what they're drinking. Mm-hmm. It's just some sort of admin that I don't want to have to
But there
face.
Is something so... Like, when I was a kid, we talked about when I, 1998, went to Bali with my family, and it was, like, such a cool experience because, it's just this whole nother world.
I know.
And like, especially, you know, when you're 7 or 8 years old. And they called me Funny Boy because I was, you know, just at the markets. I had a harmonica that I bought from a music shop. I was fucking playing the harmonica, and I had Hawaiian shirts on. It's fucking, and I had, bright blonde hair. And
I love that that's the gift you go to buy, the souvenir.
I wanted a laser. But
And you weren't allowed?
Well, I think it was definitely it was all the pushback from Dad about the laser. The annoying thing was that he said, "If you can, you've got a dollar. If you can get something for a dollar, then you're all good." Anyway, then I spoke to. It's funny thinking like a 7 year old like having this conversation. So I was doing a deal with a guy who's like, "Yeah, a dollar." I said, "All right, Dad, we got like a dollar compared to what's the currency?" It's gone blank. Oh. Not rupees.
Yeah, isn't it? Rupees.
It's gone blank. Indonesian.
I think it's a rupee. Rupiah.
Rupiah. Rupiah. Indonesian currency. Fuck! It's amazing how shit just forget it. Indonesian rupiah.
Yep.
But no, so it was a dollar. They were saying a dot, like, because in a lot of these places, they like a buck. And unfortunately, they wanted a US dollar.
Yeah.
And we didn't have US dollars, and Dad still wouldn't do it. So I never got the laser.
Never got it. Yeah. Well, I got a shotgun. it was a BB gun.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was so good. And then I had it in my hands, and the security guard, you know, the hotels, there's like, it looks like the consulate.
Yeah.
There's a full security team. and they saw me with my fucking shoddy.
Oh no!
They were like, "Oh,
liked it."
Nah. Anyway, that was. Yeah. I still got to keep it, and I brought it home. Put it in the suitcase. No. It was a long time ago, and it was the lowest powered little BB gun you could buy.
Yeah, such fond memories of Bali. I remember when my mum was on the beach, and she panicked. A lady wanted to do her nails on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And mum didn't want to. And the lady said, "What's your name?" My mum's name's Lynn. And my mum panicked and said, "Susie." And so for the fucked up thing was, for the remainder of the trip, when we went to the beach, the lady would go, "Susie, Susie, Susie." And there was also the time where we went to the monkey farm or whatever the fuck, monkey forest, not the monkey
farm.
Monkey forest. As you do. And a monkey grabbed hold of my mum's dress and refused to let go and was hissing at everyone. Like, and so mum was freaking the fuck out, and they had to give the monkey like 10 bananas to let go of mum.
Yeah.
It's a classic. I had the domain name bogansinbali.com a while ago. I didn't renew it. But I think that there would be, imagine, has that been done at like a sitcom, an Aussie family in Bali? Could you imagine?
Is it not Chappelle? what's her name? Chappelle Corby? Is it, well, Chappelle Corby? Her whole life?
Yeah.
Bogans in Bali get done for drug
smuggling?
She was
in jail. She was in jail.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a question for you, and it hasn't come from me. Okay. It's come from Clayton, who's emailed through. Clayton's from Western Canada. I had no idea what Western Canada was.
Well, you say you know Canada?
Yeah, it's in the West.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the West. Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
No, West, but so I, just in terms of what it looks like, it
actually,
looks...
Actually, that's true. Can I guess? Is Western... So, Western Canada would be... I've just gone blank. Not Toronto. Toronto's east, or sort of central east, is it? And then
it's essentially Montreal, the most beautiful part. The probably place you'd know is Calgary, and then you've got like Banff National Park.
Oh,
and so
great.
It's that like crystal, like that blue, that sort of that bluey water, and then closer you got like in the distance, and you got like that crystal clear water that you can see, like Yoho National Park.
What am I thinking of in regard? Oh, Vancouver.
Clayton's living the dream in Western Canada.
That's beautiful.
And
so, what's Clayton's question?
Well, Clayton just wanted an update on the sharing of the toothbrush that you're doing with Bree. Mm-hmm. How's it going?
It's going very well, actually. Thanks, Clayton. No, it really is. The Bree and I were talking about it last night. We're just going to get a 3M sticky thing and a holder, so that they can be held up, because the problem at the moment is that they tip over just sitting there.
Yeah, and so you're just sharing the same device and you're changing the heads.
Correct.
So it's not too disgusting. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
I nearly said same head, different device, but that would be a bit dumb, wouldn't it?
And then secondly, he said he's been using a flip phone for the past couple of months. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know where you could buy a flip phone. Can you just buy these online? Is that what you can do?
Oh yeah, yeah. But you could also you could just go to one of those like shops in the city.
Dick Smith?
Dick Smith isn't around
anymore. Oh, like in Chinatown, the little booths that repair your phones and you lose your warranty. Those
exactly,
places. Yeah. He said, "I've been using an iPod Touch for the past, for podcasts." So that's how he listens to our show.
That's great.
Which he usually keeps at home, and his girlfriend, they've recently got rid of the TV in replacement of a projector for movies. That's fucking sick.
Oh, this is good.
And he said, "As you may guess, I don't use social media. Understandably, you two need tech to continue making your living. But my question to you is, would either of you consider going back to a flip phone to explore more intentional living, going beyond the mere deletion of apps to the inability of app consumption on the go?" And so that's with you deleting a bunch of apps and having Thursdays your go-to day for Instagram,
which is, to be honest, I had someone reach out to me over the weekend on, I've been downloading Instagram quickly and then just deleting it. And there was a DM that I needed to see. And so I was like, fuck, I need to. So every day I'm now just opening it up, checking things and then deleting.
Okay. But there is a bit of admin time in downloading, opening, deleting.
Have you, it's an interesting one because there was a minimalist phone that came out about 5 years ago. Do you remember this?
No. And who's in charge of, like, what brand? Because usually it's like only the big sort of, well, there's probably like five or six big brands.
Yeah, so there's two. So if you look up the Light phone, L-I-G-H-T phone, that was one where it had like lit up numbers for the phone. So it had no buttons. There was another one too, called the Punked MP01, which was a phone that had, you know, physical buttons, but it was sort of all black, really small. There's two ways you could go. You could go the really sort of nostalgic, get the Nokia or get the if you want to go flip phone, get the Motorola Razr. You could go down, like, which is more hipster? Getting the nostalgic phone, or getting one of these minimalist phones?
God, I mean, hipsters seem to be nostalgic and sort of modern in their approach. God, that's a good question. I think from just taking a look at the Light phone, L-I-G-H-T, it's a bit more hipster.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely the flaunt of, this is a new product, you know, to the market.
I reckon we could define. So I think if there were two types of hipsters, the barista hipster the tech startup hipster. The tech startup hipster would go for the Light phone.
Definitely.
Whereas the barista would get a kick out of the pink Razr.
Exactly. The bright pink.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, it's a real peacock sign.
Yeah, yeah. I could imagine Tom, our mate, the barista, rocking one, couldn't you?
Yeah,
with
definitely.
With his big Birkenstocks.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. There's a hipster that would dye his beard pink to match his flip phone. It kind of looked cool. Which, I mean, it's an interesting one. There's probably a few reasons why I wouldn't, because I'm still paying $140 a month and I'm a tight ass and I want my money's worth. No, so, having to outlay. This is an interesting point Clayton raises, though. He says, I don't miss my smartphone, as it's been a long time since I've even used it to its full potential when I had it. Mm-hmm. Even though I had rid myself of social media, I found myself pulling out IMDb while watching shows, movies, which I felt was kind of silly. I guess the addiction never left. JJ, I just used a different part of the phone to distract myself. I definitely feel like an ass talking about using a flip phone, and I guess I could easily live an intentional life with a smartphone. He says, I don't know if I'm happier without a smartphone or not. I definitely feel disconnected in more ways than one. Hoping I can find an answer through some soul searching and meditation. This is such an interesting point because it's you try something thinking it's going to give you an answer, give you the answer that you think it will do. So get rid of phone means X, Y, or Z, whatever. It's like quitting alcohol for me. I do it, and I'm like, in the time of feeling like I'd love a drink, where I'm like, ah, bit stressed, it would be nice to just have one, relax. And then I'm like, I go through that. I'm like, am I better off without it? Like,
well, like, you're attributing meaning to these things.
Exactly.
So, so that's like part of it. Like, both would work, but it's what you're willing to attribute the meaning to.
Yeah. And then there's also, you could look at it as like, there's pain from both sides. Mm-hmm. So there's, but the drinking side for me, there is a feeling that is great as well as the pain. So you go, I'm a fuckhead when I drink, I'm irritable, all these things, but then I feel great when I'm doing it. The other side, you're like, I could be irritable and I have to confront the feelings of not feeling so great and my mental health, right?
Yeah.
And both are really hard. Like, living in that fuckhead state and feeling good is like hard as well as the other side. And so it is just like a cost analysis, like what's better pain and what pain is getting you a better result. And so being disconnected, I think you think it might give you something more than what it does, right? So like I feel getting off alcohol, mm-hmm. I know on the other side, even though it doesn't feel like it, actually so much more rewarding than the other side.
It's like instant gratification. But part of it is like a self-esteem thing as well. So,
yeah.
So, for instance, maybe this is a bad example, but like cooking. So, you can get a really amazing dish delivered to you, or you can cook it yourself. It's not just in the eating of the food. So, like people, it's like, no, like, I want to make it. They're getting self-esteem, or they're getting, or they think the process, which I think they're right, is part of the whole thing. And so it's like easy doesn't always mean better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I think it's quicker to the satisfaction, or it's, you know, you're getting a burger, you get quicker lag time between like feeling like you're hungry and then getting a bite in.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can definitely, I mean, that's close to you, that example. It's getting the food, eating it. There's so much in that process. I think it's like what these things all do, getting off your phone, going flip phone and getting off alcohol, is you needing to confront something. Like it makes you sort of like sit with your emotions a bit more. Like that feeling, sitting with your emotion of what the fuck, I'm bored, I need to do something. Like it's like you're then like, then what? And so I think I've definitely noticed my mental health more so not drinking. I don't know if it's my mental health has been slipping more so.
From an awareness perspective, so you become more aware.
Yeah. I think you're forced to based on having to confront how you feel. So it's like out of 10 times.
Can you be aware without making change? Like, so if you realize, I'm being irritable, like I feel irritable, but then.
Sorry, I just got a calendar invite, a reminder. Tommy's Jacket's 32nd birthday tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Thanks for reminding me. can you be aware and. So, you can live in awareness that is still unaware. Like, there is layers of awareness. And so, there could be like an evolution, right? It's like you become aware, which is the first stage of awareness, and then that just becomes the new normal, right? So, it's like I'm constantly observing my thoughts, and it's like, but you're still fucking in that pain. Like,
but maybe it's impossible to be aware and not do something. So, if you are aware of it, whether we know it or not, maybe there's that, like it's like meditation for you. It's the small little things every single day. You do it over a long time and then you're like, oh, yeah, things have changed. I feel different. But like you don't feel, in a lot of ways, you don't feel different. It feels, because it's such a gradual awareness, is a like a gradual tunnel to figuring out where you want to go.
Oh, 100%. Like sitting in a meditation and being aware of your thoughts, for me, like there is moments that I've had in the last couple of weeks, I'm just like, I literally just feel like I'm doing the opposite of what a meditation is. I feel like I'm aware of myself thinking, but then I'm caught in the awareness of myself thinking. Yeah. And so this meditation teacher, Locke Kelly, really love him. He's fucking amazing. And he talks about awareness of the aware. And so it's like this layer back where you're operating from just a place of pure awareness that is beyond. It's like it's the first time you hear him sort of talk about this, it sounds so confusing. And then you just like listen more and more, and it's like hard to get to this place.
And so for a lot, like I think that the to Clayton's point, like it's a the first step is like removing stuff in a lot of ways. Like you need to remove, it seems, before you, because what happens, and then we tend to not, when we remove stuff, we then replace it with something else.
Yeah.
So for you, IMDb. It was drinking, and now it's Bailey's ice cream.
has it been? I don't know if I have.
I think it, like, for me, it probably, it's been that second brain stuff. So it's been like fixated on, yeah, like social media. I think maybe work stuff that you can't really see. Like it's just like real behind the scenes-y sort of shit, tinkering with stuff.
And you like that? You think it's you're putting your time?
I've been reading, my nose is running, so this is a nightmare. I'm still sick, guys. The Jim Carrey's new book.
Yeah.
It's a novel, Memories and Misinformation. It is so funny. It is so whack. It is like just...
Whack being good or whack being bad?
Just like very Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I underlined a few bits. It's like, it's just like, it's quite confusing. You're reading it and like, what's happening?
Like he says, you're confused as to what's happening?
Yeah, like, so it's like a memoir meets fiction. And so, like, he's talking about having, you know, big fences with like electric sort of shocks and stuff, and two guard dogs, and he talks about like this is one line that I underlined. He'd heard stories about the Los Angeles morgue, board attendants taking gross pictures of famous fallen, selling them to TMZ for down payments on houses in the valley. It like so it's just like real dark shit. But then just like he's in Rome at like a movie premiere, and he ends up going to a dinner, and he starts dancing with a lady, and then he said Carrie dips the woman in his arms, and seeing her lips pucker an invitation to kiss, licked her sweaty face from the chin up to the forehead, then stared at her like a happy puppy. Like this is so absurd. It's very fun. Like it's fun. Like I was just reading it, just like what is this?
I mean, he's kooky as hell. Have you seen Jerry Seinfeld, the comedians in cars getting coffee with Jim Carrey, and he comes and he really jumps over his fence, and like he's so out there. Mm. And if he wasn't a successful, famous actor, you'd be very scared of him. There's something about like landing, you know, being able to, he's super talented, obviously, but it's like gets away with so much more, I think, just in society. Like,
I think that's based on his point in some ways, is it's like the celebrity, like it is a piece on sort of the obsession with celebrity.
Mm.
And it's sort of like he's talking about just binge watching on Netflix, and then he's, you know, he's watching a doco on Pompeii, and then he's thinking about what his fucking dead body is going to be like, and just like, you know, all puffy, and then that's why he brings up the morgue, and it's but it's fun. Like what I like about it is you get a sense of the weirdness of him. Like there is this acceptance of you're trying to place what it is, and then at some point you're like, I'm just going to go with it. You just have to keep reading, and just fucking all of a sudden he starts talking about like he's watching Survivor, and then he's talking about like what's happening in it, and how one person from like someone's about to backstab the, like it's very, very strange.
Yeah. He definitely has a unique take on life. Like he's an artist. He
does like painting and stuff.
Yeah, they're quite trippy.
Mm.
But it's I mean, he's just expressing himself at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, how do you reckon you express yourself as a human? I don't know, not as an artist, but I think it's like everyone has a version of expression. Some people channel it through art.
Yeah, what is it? I don't know. What do you think it is for me?
Maybe it's that sort of the dot connecting flexing. It's like the unique brain who's been able to sort of connect all these dots and have people go, wow. Or and it's like, how the fuck have you thought about that?
But like, I don't know much, but I like, it's very strange. Like, I'm not that book smart, or I don't necessarily, like, I've got such massive holes in all.
And so the people that also are very book smart in a certain area have holes, but maybe they're just like, so you either like double down on being the neuroscientist that understands the workings of the brain,
which is me, yeah.
But you don't, but then you don't have a whole bunch of other stuff in your brain. It's like the professionals on podcasts talking about specific areas. It's like, sure, I mean, they're just speaking to the niche. It's like, one, you do have a fucking huge understanding of a lot of stuff. And so, and
it's just like a little bit of it's the surf, the obsession with surfing the internet. Like, I think I've been surfing the internet as a, like, since I was a kid. And so then you end up, like, one thing that I was looking at was I went down this rabbit hole, you know, Udemy. Like, so Udemy is this course site, and they do a bunch of like, some of their courses, they range from like $15 or whatever up to like $200.
And this is Gronks. Anyone can put a Udemy course on there with within a few provisos. Yeah.
And so they do these promotions where they give a bunch for free. And so I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to like, what ones are free at the moment? And one of the ones that I got this morning was a course called Robo Author. And it's all about artificial intelligence that can write for you. And so so you type in a few words and then it will write, it spits out articles. And then they run it through a service to check for plagiarism. And when they first do it, it's like high on the plagiarism, like it's like 90% plagiarism. And then they bring it into another app after they use the AI app, which does like a, what's it called? It was called Quillbot. And Quillbot will take, you know, all the text that you have and it will find other words that you could, almost like the synonyms of those words. And so you can then go through, use Quillbot, generate the article. So you've got the article that's being written in AI, put it through Quillbot, copy that then back into the plagiarism stuff, and it's only like 10% plagiarized. Like it's completely unique.
Wow. And so what's the limit of, you know, so I guess it's, this is for like, university, they run stuff through these.
Like, so what's it, what these are used for is, it's like, if you're wanting to, say if you get one of those content writing companies, so they will, it's like, oh, we want articles written about this, they will use this and then use the Quillbot so that it's completely unique. So if someone copies and pastes the text into Google, it won't show up.
Yeah, wow. And so what are they, what's the course for? For criminals, or is it?
No, I think it's like, yeah, it's obviously like, I think that it's the similar sort of vein to sort of the SEO movement, you know, like, you know, you get all those emails of SEO, like, I think it's in a similar sort of area.
So we get messages, emails to us saying, we can write an article for you. Uh-huh. You know, we can write high quality articles for your website blog. And the best is when you actually don't have a website blog and they're emailing you saying that. Yeah. It's like, I saw your blog and I really like it.
Yeah.
Well, but so, is that those companies are doing that to, okay. And then they're just, so it's like they're selling shit. It's, I mean, it is clever. Like, who, most likely, there's a, you know, there's a big sort of tech interest in India where there's hundreds of thousands of people working daily to try and, you know, they're not getting paid fuck all, and they're emailing out at mass scale trying to land some.
Well, so much of it's automated. But the interesting thing, I thought maybe we could do something around screenplay Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
Where we use the AI to write something for us. So we could give it, I don't know how it would go. But I thought that was an interesting. Yeah, so but my point being is it's like I spend a lot of time just going to random. Like I'm not a conspiracy. Like I think that when you think of the person who goes to random spots on the internet, you think about fucking conspiracy theorists or pedophiles.
Yeah.
But it's like it's more
or drug
like,
dealers.
Yeah, drug dealers. But it's really just more. I don't know, just fucking clicking through, like just the normal websites, like fucking Udemy, going on there and but then actually sitting down and watching half an hour of training on AI.
Yeah, I guess you did that without being told that's what you need to do and you chose to do it on your weekend when you really didn't have to and you could be doing something else. And so that's where it's like, if that's what interests you, that's all good. That's, it just becomes, it's like, you know, the thief who works out how to, you know, con people doing the ball and cup game is actually an expert in the ball and cup game. And so it's just like that's where they've chosen to spend their time. You're choosing to surf the web, which is by default giving you this breadth of knowledge on a fucking range of shit.
Weird shit.
At a surface level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's okay.
I wonder what you can do. Like, but then I've got my second brain where I'm putting it all now.
Oh yeah,
that's good. Yeah, great. All right, guys, let's finish it up. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com is the email address. I'm fading a little bit. It's only fucking 9:15 a.m. I'm done for the day. I'm spent.
Thanks, Clayton, for the email. And
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I hope it answers
flip
your questions.
Phone. Where have you landed?
For me, I don't think I would do it at this point. I think there's probably more in what Clayton said about living an intentional life
projector.
With a smartphone.
projector.
But it is. There's little hacks. It's like our new house we're moving to. There's no room for a television in our bedroom, which is going to change heaps for us because I'm too uncomfortable sitting out on the couch late at night, every day.
Moving the bed into the lounge.
No, we've just shuffled around. No, but like little things that change a fair bit. And but yeah, I think there is a version. Everyone has their own unique challenge. And if you're the person who's got rid of your smartphone, you're further down the line to thinking it's a bit of an issue for you. So it seems more important. And for me, the drinking thing is my important bit at this point. To remove, and so, yeah.
Phones for great things as well, like All Trails. Like All Trails is fucking
true.
Great. I can't wait to be able to get out and about and explore nature and,
Definitely.
Find trails. Anyway, all right. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
See you guys.